This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You can tell the River Rally's guest like Brian Baldinger.
Why
this
are you
is
laughing?
A who's who. Because, you know, I love this type of stuff, man. I love chaos in New Customs Sports. Presented by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLover.com. Got people saying trade for Joe Burrow, even though Purdy sucks. They say trade for Justin Fields. He's going to take it to the Super Bowl. Hire X Ryan. The list goes on and on, Baldy. This is football fans at its finest when you have a losing team. So, Baldy, good morning to you. You're looking dapper as always. Last week in L.A., it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Whenever I watch Tampa, you were the first guy, Baldy, who said the most impressive team you've seen in training camp were the Tampa Bay Bucs. And, boy, they are surging right now, my boy Bucky Irving and Baker Mayfield. But forget that for a second, Baldy. Let's get to the Niners and Brock Purdy, because there's a lot going on here. Everybody's talking about his numbers or whatnot. Is it fair to dismiss this season as a one-off bad year for the Niners and Brock Purdy? Or do you believe that this is Brock Purdy here at 24 years old?
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Hold. Well, Jed York and John Lynch have a big decision to make. I mean, because the amount of money being paid to your star quarterbacks right now is $55, $60 million. That's going to be an investment that's going to basically, a lot of guys are going to have to depart. You're going to be limited by what you can do. If you do that, and they have to make that decision. Now, obviously, you wouldn't base anything off playing in the monsoon and the poor performance by everybody in that game, but that's the million-dollar decision that the 49ers got to make right now. Because if you make the wrong decision and he's a guy that's a declining player, which it sort of looks like right now, then you're going to be a bottom feeder for a while, And so it's a very tricky situation right now. And you can say, okay, we got backups all over the place and we got all these injuries and the offseason was just muddled by holdouts. And all right, is it an aberration or is it real? Because he couldn't complete a pass down the field at all the other day. And the interception, I mean, I think Darius Williams probably interfered a little bit, with Jennings on the outside there, and he couldn't get to the ball. But still, I mean, they needed one play to win that game and to stay in the race. They could make one play, and that's on the quarterback. And so he had Pearsall, on post, bang, hey, they put it out in front of him. He walks in the end zone, providing he catches it. He's got the corner beat. I mean, Kevin Witherspoon looked like, last week in that game. He looked like he was, you know, Deion Sanders, you know, against some of the guys he was covering. But it's a big question right now, Bonte, amongst all the other questions that are swirling in San Francisco. And I don't know what the answer is right now, honestly. Because, you know, I was the biggest Brock Purdy fan and defender for 3 years. But, I mean, they need to make one play against the Rams. And they couldn't make one play.
I'm seeing a similar thing to you. And it's, I don't know if it's indecisive. I don't know if he doesn't trust his own arm and shoulder. I don't know if defenses are just keen on the four or five spots in the middle of the field they like to throw to. The word I keep coming back to is predictable and a step slow on just everything. And they're not dynamic in terms of being able to throw the ball down the field. I mean, heck, Boldy, the second to last play of the game, he airmails a wide open Ricky Pearsall going toward the sidelines. It just feels like they have a very difficult time completing anything in that intermediate to deep range. Why is that? Is it a function of the offense? Is it defenses? Is it Brock? Because I got a bunch of stats here and we can go over them after that. But, like, why can't they complete the ball down the field? It's kind of driving me crazy.
Well, I mean, watching Cam Curl cover George Kittle down the field. I mean, you're looking at, you know, matchups. Like, you know, if you look, you would think if you throw the ball enough against any defense, you're going to get the defense either to break down or be out of position. The 49ers can't get either one. Like, I saw Minnesota, I saw Sam Darnold throw 5 touchdowns, you know, 2 weeks ago against Atlanta. And that's Jesse Bates and, you know, some Justin Simmons, some, you know, they've got 50-something interceptions between two of them. They were breaking down left and right. Justin Jefferson's free, Jordan Addison's free. Like, you don't see that with this 49ers up. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is it seems awfully predictable. Now, that's what you get when you don't get guys open or wide open, or the defense is, you know, their coverages are breaking down. Like, you're not seeing that right now. You're seeing a lot of one-on-ones where guys aren't winning. You saw a lot of swearings from Kittle, from Debo, that all got defended on that game against the Rams. And I wouldn't put those guys, Witherspoon, Curl, even Williams, I wouldn't put that group as, you know, a top flight secondary in this league. But they played like one. Last Thursday night.
You know, Baldy, and Bonte wants to get in here, but first 25 games, including the playoffs, 45 touchdowns, 17 total turnovers. The 18 games, starting with the Baltimore game, 20 touchdowns, 22 turnovers, and the team is only 10-8. Now, I know there are some better opponents in there. Is there a common denominator? Is there something that you're seeing that is so dramatically different since that Baltimore game? Because it's almost like we all can't unsee it.
Well, for a long time, especially in the first, I think, what'd you say, 30 games, Joe, I always thought this about Kyle's offense. I always knew that there was a motion and a shift in every play. And they're trying to get you out of your gaps, out of position, whatever. Okay, window dressing. But I always thought of everyone that had a play action. And that play action got the quarterback free. He got a good vision, and he had time. And I just don't see much of that right now. Now, it could be a function of there's no McCaffrey, there's no Mason, you're down to Garengo, whatever. Could be some of that. There's no Trent, okay? You know, there's had some injuries up front. Could be some of that. But I don't see – I always just say that every run had a play action. The guys have told me that have been in that offense. Hughes has told me that. And I don't see those play actions getting Brock, like, really wide open to read the field and to get good, easy throws and get guys open up. That component seems to be missing over the last 18 games.
And Baldy, I agree with you. And I would add to that context, McCaffrey. That's a big, big weapon. And you have to try to overcome that. I don't know how you overcome not having the offensive player of the year. There's a drop-off. There's a big-time drop-off, especially in the pass game. I don't know how you overcome Brandon Ayuk being hurt, even though he was rusty coming in. But let's face it, that was Brock's number one target last season. He had a dynamic year and finished second in the franchise with 7 100-yard games, only behind the great Jerry Rice. You talk about the offensive line. I think the offensive line is a lot worse. So there's a lot there with this football team. But at 24, I've been asking fans all week long, since there's been a lot of doom and gloom around here. That's what happens in losing seasons. You see things going on, like the videos you sent on Twitter, Baldy, where Debo's running into Isaac Rendon in ghost motion. It's like, what the hell is going on here? We can't even function and run a basic motion. At 24 years old, do you believe that Brock Purdy can improve and get better at the quarterback position?
Well, you know, I'd love to know if there is a still existing injury to the shoulder. Like, is it affecting him? Like, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to say anything. He's not going to say anything. The team isn't going to say anything. But is there an injury there that he's playing with? Because it doesn't look like he can drive the ball the way he once did. He never had the strongest arm, but he could drive the ball. And he could layer it. He could do all the things you got to do with the football. And we all saw it. And it was against good teams. And it was in the playoffs. And it was all those things. And you could say, okay, there's no, you know, there's no Ayuk. You could say all these things. But it doesn't look to be the same right now. Now, you've had the elbow. You've had the shoulder. Like, there is a compounding thing to a guy who's not, he's not Josh Allen. He's not. He doesn't have that frame. So is there a compounding injury right here to him that is starting to take its toll right now at a tender age of 24?
Baldy, I'll ask you directly, and we'll get back into the rest of the team because Greenlaw, Debo, I mean, there's so much to talk about. If John Lynch came to you and said, hey, Brian, I know you watch every single week and you watch all these other quarterbacks around the league. Brock is demanding top five money. What do we do here? What would your advice to him be?
I'd say I'd go flip him for Sam Darnold right now.
Wow.
I mean, why wouldn't I? So Minnesota, like, look, let's just think about Sam for a second. He sat there as a backup all year. He learned what a first-class franchise, game planning, how to build a team. Like, he saw that for the first time in his life. Now he's with Kevin O'Connell, who's an elite play caller with a very, very good offense that has a real style to it, and he's flourishing. And Minnesota doesn't have to commit anything to him right now. All they're doing, I talked to the general manager 2 weeks ago, Kwesi, and all just to play it out. They've got a quarterback they drafted. They don't have to give him top flight money, or they could trade him. Like, I would be having a conversation with Minnesota to see what it would take to get Sam Darnold back. He's a bigger, stronger, more athletic, I don't know, but he's bigger, stronger than what Brock is. Like, or can you play with both of them at a modicum of salary and afford both and, I don't know, have a competition? I mean, I'd be interested to see what it would take to get Sam Darnold.
What my question is, then, coming off of this season with Sam Darnold, because it's something that last Friday I came in here, I said, you may have to go get Sam Darnold, which is very intriguing, and I kind of walked it back. What would Sam Darnold be able to command on the open market as a free agent? Would he be able to command $30 million a year, $40 million a year, $50 million a year coming off this one season?
Well, you know, when this was a 12-team league, Bonte, we didn't have enough good quarterbacks. with Sam Darnold, we take the Atlanta Falcons and win that division, yep. You know, you could. Would he be an improvement with that staff in Carolina? Yep, he'd be an improvement. Would he be an improvement in New York at either team right now? Yeah, he would be. I mean, you know, you just go around the league and you go, there's going to be a demand. Now, can the Vikings, like, they've got a rookie quarterback that's injured, but he's on a rookie contract. You could afford both. And if Sam beats him out, then he sits like Jordan Love sat. And when times come, you know, that you make the move. But, you know, I think he could command a pretty big salary. I don't know if it's $50 million. And I don't know how you put, but he's going to get some good offers out there.
Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. I'm stumped. I'm stumped with the Sam Darnold situation here because I leaving out of the game Thursday, I said, man, would the Niners go back and I don't know. That's why we'll get back. Trust me, we got the show planned the rest of the day. But Devondre Campbell also made headlines, and I don't want to sweep this under the rug because I think it's one of the biggest stories I've seen in terms of just a football team and playing sports or whatnot. What did you make of the situation? And did you have a teammate that ever just walked off the field and say, yeah, I don't want to play today. I'm out.
I've never been on a team or a player did that ever. I think it's the worst violation that there is. I mean, there's curfew violations. There's guys that stay out all night. There's all that stuff. This to me, like, first of all, This game was a celebration of Drake Greenlaw's return to the line. It was a celebration of Drake. Nick Bosa and Fred Warner already said, like, there was this, almost a spiritual intervention that Drake, after 10 months of rehab, was going back to play his old position. Devontae was playing only because of that. And so when Drake pulled up and whatever happened, you know, leg got tight, whatever happened, and it was time for Devontae now to go supplant Dre, and for him not to want to go in the game. I can't imagine a bigger quit on a team than that, ever. Like, I can't even imagine that. This, first of all, you're not even celebrating your brother right there and his return. Like, it's a brotherhood. It's a fraternity. It truly is. And for him to, like, not see that, not understand that, like, I'll never understand that.
You ever meet Devontae Campbell? You ever had any interactions with him? What is he like as a guy?
I don't know him. He's been in the league 9 years. He's been on different teams. He's like the Packers and tackles at one point. You know, I mean, he's been on a couple different teams, whatever. Like, you know, he's getting a chance to play next to Fred Warner and go to the Super Bowl and, you know, extend his career into the ninth year. And to pull that stunt, I mean, I know there's all kinds of, you know, player union things, but I'm sure Kyle and John Lynch would love to have just said, pack your bags and get out of here. And because the union has certain stipulations, I don't know, all the legal terms, so they're just protecting themselves, but, you know, just pack your bags and go.
You know, there are certain players, you brought up Dre Greenlaw, there's certain players, and B and I have talked about these guys, they give their bodies to the sport, you know, and you feel like they lose a chunk of who they are because of how violent the game is, and just stuff happens, you know, and I think of Navarro Bowman and guys like that, and then I think of what Dre Greenlaw did in that first half, and you've said it over and over, speed with instincts where you can play just like so fast, and the way he was knifing through, you know, shedding blocks and reading things in real time and flying. I was like, my God, we forgot how great this guy was. I mean, he's so good. And what a spiritual uplift it was to that whole defense. Everything looked faster. How great was Dre Greenlaw in that first half?
He was great. And did you see the game that Fred Warner had? Fred hadn't played like that in months. It was the best game Fred played. I don't know how many tackles he had. It was the best game Fred played in a long, long time. And I know he's been hobbled and, you know, banged up and all that stuff and out of the lineup a couple of different times. But, like, I felt like Fred was inspired. Like, I know how Fred feels about Dre. They played 6 years together. They're the longest tenured tandem of inside linebackers in this business. And they play off each other so well, depending on what the call is, man zone, you know, how they – divide up the responsibilities on any given play or situation. It's nonverbal. But I thought Fred played the best game he's played in a long time. And I think a big part of it was going out there on the field with his brother and Dre Greenlaw.
You know, Baldy, this has been a disappointing season for the 49ers. Very disappointing on a number of levels. Quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, receivers, linebackers, you name it. Who's been the most disappointing player on the 49ers this season, in your opinion? Not to single anybody out, Baldy, because I know you do this stuff, and I'm not trying to put you on a hot seat here, but I have some thoughts.
For me, it's been Bosa.
For Shasky, it's
Bosa. I've been very disappointed. I love Bosa, but I feel like not that he's not playing hard. I'm not seeing the impact. I watched TJ Watt. This guy is relentless.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Nick Bosa, you know, to be a former, if you look at just the recent defensive players of the year. You look at Nick Bosa, you look at TJ, you know, you look at Myles Garrett. Like, you just take those three guys now. I mean, if you just went off the tape, you take Jonathan Greener right now. You take Grenard in Minnesota over Nick. Wow. You know, you would take, you know, there's certain guys that you would take. You would take Danielle Hunter, okay? Like, you would take certain guys over him right now. And this is the great Nick Bosa, but he's not, like, he's still getting to the quarterback and he's making some plays more so than the stats might show, but he's not creating strip fumbles, you know, where like he once was. Like, he's not doing that right now. And so it's it doesn't, you know, for a guy that had a healthy offseason, you know, no contract and all that kind of stuff, like he had the year before, like in my mind, I think Nick has to play bigger and better. He's got a bigger impact, especially on that line. When you lose Hargrave, you know, and you lose Armstead, you lose some of these guys that have been there. You know, you need more from him right now.
See, my most disappointing Niner will be Deebo Samuel. He has 101 receiving yards over the last 5 weeks. And when he tweeted out last week, hey, I'm not getting the ball enough. It's not me. I'm not getting the ball enough. And he drops a quick slant for a touchdown. He's not beating man press. He's not getting open. He's running into Isaac Garrido on ghost motions on a running play. To me, Deebo Samuel, because all the talk out of training camp, he looks like he's in phenomenal shape. He's going to have a monster season. Focus. He's a leader. And then after the Tabor Pepper situation, it's gone all downhill. He will be my most disappointing Niner this season, Baldy.
Well, I mean, the one player that had a chance to actually score a touchdown in that game was Deebo. You know, and that might have been the difference in the game and the difference in them, you know, in the playoff hunt at 7-7 if they win that game. And, you know, I mean, it's all bunched up with their, I mean, coming down the final weeks. I mean, you got to make plays, and that was the play to be made. He's walking in the end zone. Like, Brock hits him in stride. He's going to score on that play. And that's when Deebo's at his best, when he's got a head of steam up and the ball is, like, put right in front of him. That's when he makes big plays. He's not a guy that's going to beat you with his routes and a guy that's going to come back to the ball and then, you know, do some Justin Jefferson thing up to you and make you admit, like, that's not really his game. But that slant that he ran, that's the Deebo play. That's the play that we've seen where he energizes the entire stadium. And for him to take his eyes off the ball and, you know, and not do the fundamental there, I mean, that's disappointing. He, you know, they showed you the sideline shot at him, and he's just, you know, if you want to speak up and say those kind of things, you have to back it up.
Yeah.
You know, that you just have to back it up. Otherwise, you don't say the things they said that week.
You know, it's funny. We've been talking a lot as a fan base, like, Kyle's got to evolve. And his offense still puts up a ton of yards. One of my hugest criticisms, and it's been year after year after year, is I feel like depending on who the hot hand should be, we're not adjusting in-game going to that person. And I want to contrast this. McVay realized Kyren's running harder than the numbers look. Let's ride him. Cooper Kupp's not really doing much. We don't need to target him. But Puka is. Those are now my two top dogs. We're going to ride them. I come out of so many games going, Kittle's your best player this year. And he's just not getting the appropriate amount of looks. And I watch them early in this game, and I'm like, if this game is about getting Deebo right, we're going to lose this game. And it felt like it was like we got to try to get Deebo right. He's not one of your top dogs anymore. It's Kittle. And it's maddening to watch. Are you noticing that same thing? Because no specific design plays like they had the week prior with George Kittle. I know I'm long-winded. It's just, it's driving me nuts.
Well, they had one-on-one with Cam Curl. He defended them twice on third downs. You know, third down, they weren't good. They didn't stay on the field. It's the same offense. And, you know, the ball was going to George. I mean, he got defended. But, I mean, even like if you look at some of the routes, like I don't see George running comebacks. Like, if the defender's just sitting on top of you and you're making a 90-degree cut, like, what's wrong with just coming back to the ball? You know, like third to seven, go to 10 and coming back to seven. You know, like, what's wrong with your comeback right there? You know, he's a big body, catches the ball with his hands. Like, there's just certain things that I would adjust in the type of routes that I ran if I was George. I'm with you. You know, the plays that they ran the week before, the plays that I would draw up for any tight end, any good tight end, to get him the ball, and they're a little negligent doing it. Look, I don't think Kyle's having a great season. Like, it's just, but when you're 6-8, like, there's plenty of blame to go around with everybody right now, especially, and then it's just too easy to say, honestly, it's just too easy to say, oh, it's a Super Bowl hangover. Okay, we've seen that before from teams, but I just don't want to buy into that. Like, roster was still elite to start the season. They haven't scored enough points based on the amount of yards that they've gained. And yeah, I mean, they lost two running backs that are really good. But it's just too easy to say Super Bowl hangover and injuries.
Kyle Shanahan, we heard from Steve Young last week saying that Shanahan needs to reinvent himself. How does Shanahan reinvent himself, Baldy?
That's a good question. I'd like to just see Young answer that.
Steve Young, just basically, he said he wanted to see him reinvent himself, which is, you know, there's a lot more context to it. Maybe it's, you know, first down passing. Maybe it's more innovation in the red zone. But how would you, by watching Shanahan and watching how this team has played this season, what would you suggest for Shanahan to reinvent himself? How would he reinvent himself for next season in 2025? Is it the passing game? Is it more routes outside? Is it throwing outside the numbers? Is it more deep shots? Is it riding more George Kittle when your running backs or whatnot, more targets for Kittle? Because that's been a theme all season long. We say George Kittle walks off the field with just six targets. He's your best wide receiver, and he's the one guy who's gaining separation.
Well, I would like to see Kyle Shanahan with offensive players that have more speed. I'd like to see more speed in the offense. Remember, they drafted all these guys. Who was the kid? Danny Jones, the kid from SMU?
Danny Gray.
Yeah, Danny Gray.
Yeah.
Danny Gray. Like, you know, these guys are supposed to have great speed. You know, like, I'd like to see him. Like, I remember when he was in Cleveland. And he had tremendous speed.
Josh Gordon.
You know, in Atlanta, obviously, you had Julio. You had guys that had speed. Like, I just feel like this offense looks, I've said it for weeks now, it looks slow. I'd like to see, I think Kyle Shanahan go a long ways to reinventing himself if he had real speed on the outside.
Is Ayuk the missing element, or do they need something more than that?
Well, I mean, Ayuk would really help because he's such a great route runner. He's such a great blocker. You know, he can beat man coverage against anybody. But I would think you need more. Maybe it's Pearsall. I don't know. We haven't seen enough of him. I like to see him with an offseason mate. I don't know that he has the speed I'm talking about, like top flight speed.
You talk about explosiveness. Just, you know, yeah.
Like just take the cover off the top of the defense. I like to see somebody that in the offense and see what it could look like.
Real quick, you know, I always got to ask, as we say bye-bye, where are you going to be at this weekend?
I'm going to be in Washington, Philadelphia, Washington. I'm going to see the hottest team in football in the Philadelphia Eagles. No defense has made bigger improvements from one year to the other. It's coordinator, it's the drafting, it's the GM. It's you go get yourself Zach Bond, you go get yourself Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, you develop Nolan Smith. It's everything in Philadelphia, what they're doing right now, to become and morph into the number one defense in football.
All right, Baldy. Good stuff as always, man. Sam Darnold. You flip Purdy for Darnold right now. That is fascinating.
Well, I don't know if I'd do that, but I would have to. I don't know, Baldy, if I would flip it, but I will think about it.
Yeah.
Especially if Sam takes this team deep into the playoffs right now. There's no chance to be the number one seed. So, like, you know, Sam is a big reason why this thing is humming the way it is right now.
All right, Baldy. Talk to you next week, buddy.
See you, pal.
Yep. All right, guys. You bet, man. Have a good week.
You too. Brian Baldinger. Wow. Wow, 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 wow.